In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for the homily is Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11, and Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 to 7, read a few minutes ago. The text is one of several Old Testament lessons assigned for Wednesday of Holy Week. It is rather an interesting, a strange, and challenging text. The persons who chose this configuration of the words of Isaiah obviously intended that the text be applied to the Holy Week emphasis on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his suffering and death on the cross for the sins of all people, the shedding of his blood on the cross. While this is possible and very desirable, there are other important emphases in and of the text. We begin with the last verse of the lesson, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. The verse begins and ends with references to the Lord's, to Yahweh's mercies, his loving kindnesses, his gracious acts. As those who study Hebrew know, this particular word that is behind the word mercies is a very difficult word to convey precisely into English. Isaiah began his verse by saying, "I shall mention the mercies of the Lord, the loving kindnesses, the gracious deeds of the Lord." And he ends with his mercies, loving kindnesses, gracious deeds. The use of the word mercies at the beginning and end of the verse sets it off as a unit. Within this textual unit or envelope, Isaiah also refers to the Lord's goodness, his compassion. In fact, the whole sermon could be preached on this verse alone. Isaiah used a similar literary device in the servant song of Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 begins and ends with the Hebrew expression, "Kulanu," all of us. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It should be noted that the Hebrew noun that is used here in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7, is in the plural, mercies, and refers to the many gracious acts of the Lord toward his covenant people. Isaiah's hearers would have thought of how the Lord had given Moses to his people to lead them out of Egypt at the time of the first Passover. They would have called to mind how Yahweh had delivered them from Pharaoh's army at the Reed Sea, usually referred to as the Red Sea. The people would have remembered how the Lord had provided for his people during their wilderness wanderings, supplying them with manna, water, and quail. They would have thought of how the Lord had been with them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They would have called to mind the 10 words or 10 commandments God gave his people through Moses, as well as other words of spiritual counsel and direction. We too have experienced the gracious acts of the Lord. He created and still sustains us and preserves us. He called us to faith through water and the word. He continues to sustain us through word and sacraments, and has given to us the gift of eternal life. In the first verse of the lesson, Isaiah shared with his readers a vision that the Lord had granted to him. With the triple use of the word hine, behold, he invited them, first of all, to pay attention, and then to picture in their mind's eye what the Lord had revealed. Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the end of the earth, "Say to daughter Zion, behold, your salvation, your Savior comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." We know from the New Testament that the bringer of our salvation, our Savior, has come in the form of Jesus Christ. As true man, he led a perfect life in our place. He offered himself on the altar of the cross as a sacrifice for our lives of sin. As true God, he made an acceptable sacrifice. And we already know now on this Wednesday of Holy Week, in advance of Easter 2001, that he conquered Satan, sin, hell, and death, and rose from the dead in victory and triumph for us and for all people. That brings us to the first six verses of Isaiah chapter 63. The picture portrayed on film might not pass the scrutiny of the film critic or censor. The main speaker is the Lord, who has come from defeating his enemies. The stain on his garments is likened to the stain on the clothing of a person who has tread grapes at the time of harvest. The stain, however, here is not caused by the Lord's own blood. The Lord states that he has exercised judgment on people. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their juice spattered on my garments and stained all my robes. And again, I trampled peoples in my anger and crushed them in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood, on the earth. In his commentary on this passage, Luther did not agree with those who saw in this text a reference to Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven. Luther wrote, "Some have twisted this text to refer to the Passion, and they have pictured Christ with a winepress where a lamb stood by, but this, he says, is absurd." Christ did shed his blood on the cross, but it seems best to regard this passage as a prophetic vision of the last times. The text invites us to look beyond Christ's crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension. According to Isaiah's prophetic vision, the Lord Jesus Christ will appear as the judge who has trampled and crushed all his enemies, but he also will present himself as the victor who conquered his and our enemies. Meanwhile, the Lord wants his people to rejoice in his mercies, his loving kindnesses, his gracious deeds and acts. He desires that the message go out to all the world. Behold, your salvation, your Savior has come. To us who have been baptized, he has come with gifts of forgiveness and eternal life. Behold, he still comes in his holy word. He comes in his holy supper with his body and blood, in and with under the bread and wine, for the forgiveness of sins and to provide us with the sure guarantee of everlasting life in his eternal kingdom. Behold, your salvation, your Savior, has come. He does come, and he will come again to take you to be with him in his eternal kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.